Hey, everybody. Welcome to this worship and word experience online. I sure hope you're doing fine in your homes. I'm in the back of my home in a gazebo, and we're talking today about anger. Can you actually talk about the age of rage while you're sitting in a comfortable spot in a yard somewhere? Yeah, it's possible. For those of you who've been with us at Bridgeway, you know we started a few weeks ago a three-week series called The Age of Rage. We first talked about uncovering what makes me angry. Secondly, discovering what makes you angry. And today we're going to end this three-week series on recovering the ravages of anger. Now, we took a break a week ago because of the coronavirus, and I want to make sure to give you a special sermon just on the coronavirus and some practical applications. So hopefully you got those. If you didn't, you can always go back on our Facebook page and get the six ways to be with regard to the coronavirus. Today, I want to talk about recovering the ravages of anger. Before I pray and get started, let me tell you what's happening next week. Next week, I'm starting a brand new 10-week series called The Fascinating Phrases from Philippians. The small book of Philippians has amazing phrases or significant verses chalked throughout this small little 4-chapter book. And the first of the phrases we're going to teach on is from Philippians 1:6, which says, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ." Since the coronavirus has kind of come upon the world, I want to take that phrase, the day of Christ. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. What is the day of Christ? And what are the signs of the times when you know that the world is coming to an end? Is this virus a part of that? Well, we'll talk about it next week. Make sure you don't miss it. I'm going to talk about the 9 signs of the times. Now, today, we're recovering the ravages of anger. Let's bow for a word of prayer and get started. Heavenly Father, right now, we just thank you that we do not have to let anger ruin our lives. And we pray that the word of God will help us as we learn from the scriptures how to recover the ravages of anger. Be with every single listener, every single viewer, every single person under the sound of my voice now, that you would give them peace in the midst of whatever storm they're going through. We commit today's sermon over to you now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Together, everyone said, amen and amen. True or false? If you ignore anger, it will go away. False. True or false? If someone doesn't look or sound angry, then they don't have an anger problem. False. True or false? If a person's a nice person, then they probably can't get angry or be angry. False. If you know somebody who's an angry person, that means they can't be nice. True or false? False. In other words, you can have really nice people that have an anger problem, you just don't know it. Or you can have real angry people and they just let it all come out, and guess what? They are handling their anger fine, they just need to learn how to manage their emotions. But the problem is, once anger takes hold, and once we open the door to allow the enemy to have a foothold in that emotion of anger, we can sin. And then that sin can lead to all kinds of destruction. And that's what ravages are. Just, it's destructive, it's corruptive, it's eruptive, it just ruins everything. That's what ravages are. So some of you know exactly what I mean. You have seen the ravages of anger in your life, in your marriage, with your parents, in your school, with the people you work with, and you wonder, how do I pick up all the pieces? Well, that's what I want to talk about today, how to do just that. But first, I want to tell you a story. It's the story of really the first anger explosion in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 4, and it's the story of Cain and Abel. Remember Cain? As soon as you get out of chapters 1, 2, and 3, you get to chapter 4. And the reason I say 1, 2, and 3 is because in chapters 1, 2, and 3, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created humankind, and then man and woman sinned, and then there was curses upon the earth. They were kicked out of the garden, and this is really the first story outside of the Garden of Eden. I'll pick it up at verse 4, or I'll pick it up at verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, Genesis. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. So Adam and Eve have a son. His name is Cain. They have a second son, the younger brother. His name is Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. Basically, Abel was a shepherd. Cain was a farmer. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. This is how we know they had a relationship with God as a family. The parents probably taught their children that you need to worship the Lord and bring your offerings to worship. And so this shows a parental leadership and pouring into your kids at a young age so they know how to worship the Lord. And Cain takes the offerings from the soil and he offers it to the Lord. Verse 4, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face downcast. So now we see the first anger in scripture, and it's in Genesis 4, and Cain is very angry. His face is downcast. Why is he angry? He brought his offering to the Lord. His brother Abel brought his offering to the Lord. But if you notice the difference in the passage, it says in verse 3, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering. It says that Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. In other words, Abel gave of the first fruits. Cain gave of the leftovers. And so God had favor on Abel's offering. It's kind of like the dogs I have. I've got these animals, right? And so like one big animal will come and I'll have favor on that animal. I'll start petting it and it's all happy. Well, then the other animal gets jealous. So guess what he or she does? She comes over and she wants me to pet her. As long as I'm petting both of them, we're all good to go. But I have a third dog that then comes over and wants to nudge one of the other dogs. So now I only have two hands. So I'm petting two, but there's one over there that's upset. Who's he upset at? Well, at first you think he's upset at me because he wants favor, but he's mad at them for receiving favor, so they'll bump the other one out, and before you know it, they're mad at each other, but why should they be? That's what's up with Cain. Cain is very angry, his face is downcast, but why should he be mad at Abel? Because God's favor is petting Abel. He wants to nudge Abel out of the way and receive favor from God. But his anger is misplaced. Instead of him being mad at God, he's mad at Abel. And really, he shouldn't be mad at God. He shouldn't be mad at Abel. Guess who he should be disappointed with? Himself. You see, he's the one that knew what kind of offering to bring to God in worship. But he chose to skim. He chose to rob God. And so the favor upon Abel became the anger of Cain. And instead of Cain dealing with what he was supposed to deal with, he got mad at Abel. And let's pick the story up, because if we let anger continue, it can lead to some bad ravages. And this is what happens. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Verse 5. Here comes verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now, I want you to know what happens here. Cain is so upset that even after God confronts him about it, talks to him about it, before anything goes wrong, before anything is ruined, God says, "Yo, hey, listen, what's up? Why are you so angry?" Best thing you can do when people are angry is try to intervene before they do something really bad. That's what God did. Now, God could have stopped it right there, but you know how God is. He's a gentleman. He's not going to overcome our will. But Cain had an opportunity to do something there. He had an opportunity to turn. He didn't. So even after God confronts him, he then tells him, listen, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. God gives him a warning. You need to handle this. And what I want to do is I want to highlight those four words, if you will. Let's look at those four words. You must master it. Had Cain dealt with it there, there'd be no ravages. You. Let's look at that word. Bottom line is God is pointing to him. And let me just say to you, you're the one who has to take the responsibility. It's not about Abel. It's not about God. It's about you. So if you're going to deal with anger, you've got to look in the mirror, the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror. Don't worry about everybody else. You take personal responsibility. What must you do in order to get things right? That's the first word. The second one, it says you must. Must means you have to do it. This is not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's a mandate. You know, before the government was saying, you know, maybe you can go to restaurants, but less than 50 people during the coronavirus guidelines, or you can go to bars, but less than 50 people. Well, people weren't really doing that. And so guess what? Then the governor of our state comes out and says, no, you must do this. It's now a mandate. We're shutting down restaurants, shutting down bars. You see, there's a difference between a suggestion, a recommendation, and guidelines, and then a mandate. And so now what God is doing is God is saying to Cain, you must. I'm mandating. You must do this or else it's going to be really, really bad for you. So let me say to you, you take personal responsibility, must realize that this is a command from God. Master it. The word master means to conquer it. Conquer what? He says, sin is crouching at your door. You must master it. You must master what? You must master the sin that's crouching at your door. You must master the anger that is taking over your emotions that's going to lead to you sinning. In your anger, do not sin. If you master the anger, you will not sin. And if you do sin, you've got to master that sin. Overcome it, conquer it, dominate it. Don't even let the devil have a foothold, because if you do not master it, it will master you. If you do not overcome it, it will overcome you. If you do not dominate your anger will dominate you. It's not about what she did. It's not about what he did. It's not about what they did. It's not about what didn't happen to me. It's not about what happened to me. It's about what you can do to dominate and master the very thing that's seeking to master you. And that is the fourth word, it. What is the it? Well, let me ask you, what is your it that you must master? The it that's making you angry, what is it? Is the it an addiction? Is the it a sin? Is the it a habit? Is the it a person that knows how to just push your triggers? Well, you can't master a person. It didn't say master the person. You must master Abel. You must master God. You must master the person that's making you upset. You can't master people. Dominate, overcome, and conquer people. Mm-mm. It's the it. What is the it that you have the power to master? Well, this is what we find out. He did not master it. And so if we continue to read this story, it says in verse 8, now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The first premeditated first degree murder in the Bible. Wow. It only took one chapter. I mean, Genesis 1 and 2, it's like the Garden of Eden. Everything's great. Genesis 3, there's sin. By Genesis 4, anger, competition, jealousy, murder. And not murder of like some people group that we don't like. His own brother. The ravages of anger will lead you to sin. Sin will lead to death. And in this case, Cain murders his own younger brother. Why? Because his brother brought his first fruits offering to God. God said to Cain, if you'll do what's right, you'll be fine. Abel did what was right. Cain did what was wrong. Abel died for doing what was right. Do you know that some people will be angry at you just because you're doing what is right? Like, what did Abel do in all of this? Nothing except honor God, worship God, and he gets murdered? Wow. The anger of other people will ravage all of our lives, even when we're trying to do the right thing. And Abel wasn't trying to do the right thing. Abel did the right thing. And God gave him favor. And his brother was so angry, at the end of the day, he killed him. And even God intervened to try to get him to repent, to try to get him to do right. Nope, he was heck bent, if you will, on making sure his plan of letting his anger go all the way till he felt like it would be better. And so what was his better? To kill his brother. Come on, let's go out to the field. And the brother, none the wiser, being a nice guy, worshiping God with his first fruits, says, sure, we'll go out in the field. We always go out in the field. And this time what happens? He lures him into a trap. He attacks him. He kills him and sheds his blood in the field. This is what anger can do. And so sure enough, God comes to Cain after all of this, after he murders his brother. Then the Lord said to Cain in verse 9, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? So now he's lying. He's a murderer. He's a liar. You know, all he had to do was give his first fruits. I mean, come on. Good Lord. The Lord said in verse 10, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opens its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. In other words, now all the work you do is just going to be harder. Everything you used to do to produce, it's now not going to produce for you on the earth. Cain said in verse 13, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land. I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. It says that he's out of the Lord's presence. What did God do? Well, first of all, God did not murder him. He could have done capital punishment. He didn't. That's a whole different sermon. But he did banish him from the presence of the Lord. Because that's what sin does. When we have anger and it turns into sin and that sin kind of ravages our life, then what happens is it separates us from God. God says, I've given you multiple opportunities. You didn't want to take them. And now look, you've just messed everything up. And now I'm going to banish you. And now Cain is like, whoa. So like, I'm like banished like from your presence, God? Yeah. Now we know God's omnipresent, so he's always present there. But the feeling of God being in your realm, the feeling of God hearing your prayers, the feeling of you being able to connect with God, gone. You can live, but you're living separated from God. Why? Because sin separates us from God. And this is why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, the one who would shed his blood, so that through the shedding of his blood, we could come back into a relationship with God again. So if you repent and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the blood of Jesus is applied to you. And that same blood that goes into the same ground where Abel's blood went into the ground, an innocent man receiving that death, guess what happens? When you receive that, you can come back into a relationship with God. In other words, sin leads to separation. Separation can only bring us back to God if we have a Savior who takes us back. And so that's a decision we all have to make. Anyway, we looked at these four words. You must master it. If you don't, then the ravages of sin will just ruin your life and ruin my life. And even though God will intercept at times and talk to us and intersect into our lives to try to keep us from doing what we want to do in our own human emotion, we keep pushing on and keep pushing on and keep pushing on, and then it just leads to separation from God. So then the question becomes, what can I do to recover from the ravages of anger? That's what I want to talk about in the last half of my message. What can I now do? So you got anger, you got sin, you've got separation from God, you got ruined relationships, stuff is just all messed up. Okay, I got it, Pastor. What can I do to recover from the ravages of anger? Well, the breeze is blowing out here in the gazebo, and so what I think I want to do is go to my notes in my office so I can give you four ways to recover from the ravages of anger. Are you ready to learn? Come on, let's go to my office. Well, it's good to be inside. It was nice and sunny, and it's still beautiful outside, but it was just a little bit breezy, so I moved into my home office, and now I want to conclude my message with talking to you about the four ways to recover the ravages of anger. We already talked about the four words. Now let's talk about the four ways. Before I do, let me just give you a couple of scriptures to double down on the fact that anger and sin can leave us in ruin. Here are a couple of passages. In Proverbs 13:3, it says, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." So ruin is one of the ravages of anger. Folly and foolishness is also a ravage of anger. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 14:29. "A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly." Folly or foolishness is a ravage of anger. Proverbs 15:18 says dissension is a ravage of anger as well. Listen to what it says. "A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms quarrel." So dissension as a result of anger and sin. I'll give you one more, and that is Proverbs 29:22, which says, "An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins." So you see what anger can do when you let it go unbridled, and when you, like Cain, just let it continue to gnaw at you and eat at you. It will ravage and ruin everything. So for those of you who have had this happen in your life, and yeah, I have, and I'm sure you have as well, where anger's got the best of you, it opened the door to sin, and then sin just kind of ruined everything, separated you from God and other people, what do you do? Well, here are four ways to recover the ravages of anger. Number one, repent. Repent. Repent simply means to turn away from what you were doing. You confess it, you say you're sorry, you own up to it. Notice that Cain never repented. God came to him, Cain didn't repent. God talked to him about his feelings, didn't repent. God told him, "You better master this," never repented, and then went out into the field and killed his brother. And even after that, he didn't repent. Even after murdering his brother, he says, well, what happened to your brother? "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I didn't do anything. I don't know where he is." So, you know, he just doubled down on his sin and never repented. So you'll never recover the ravages of anger without repentance. And so how do you repent? You say, "Dear Lord, I am so sorry. Please forgive me for my sins. I was wrong. I own it." You say to the people you hurt, "I was wrong. I own it." And that begins to help you recover what is lost. So that's the first way. Here's the second way. Repay. Repay. That means if you hurt somebody, if you took something from somebody, then repay it. If you can repay or offer any kind of penance, that's fair. That's just. So if something broke because of my anger, then I'm going to help pay to put the fence up. That's what happened with one of my kids when they were a teenager. They ran through a fence, okay? Well, guess what? We made them apologize to the people and help and rebuild the fence. See, repentance is not just, "I'm sorry, but you now go pay for your own fence that I broke." No, it's, "I'm sorry, and you know what? Let me help you rebuild the fence." So the first two of four ways to recover ravages of anger deal with when I am in the wrong and I hurt other people. Repent for God and the other people, and I repay. I do what it takes to make things right. By the way, that's exactly what happened when Zacchaeus, who was stealing money as a tax collector from people, you know what Zacchaeus did after he met Jesus, felt guilty and came into a new relationship with Jesus? Guess what? He went and he repaid every single person, not once, not twice, not three times, four times what he owed them, what he took from them and stole from them. Four times. That's called restitution. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. All right, so we've talked about four ways to recover the ravages of anger. The first two is when I have done something out of anger to hurt, offend other people. The next two has to do with if you have been the victim of, all right, when you have received the ravages of other people's sin, other people's anger. So we said four ways. Here's number three, release. We said repent, repay. Here's the third way, release. What does this mean? If someone's hurt you badly, release them from the dungeon of your unforgiving heart. I know that that's not easy when we talk about forgiveness, but the reality is, what are you going to do? Are you going to take revenge on them? You have one choice, release them or revenge. What are you going to do? Are you going to hold them in the dungeon of your unforgiving heart? How's that working for you? It just makes things worse for you. That was the problem with Cain. He just could not let go of his anger. And you have to let go of not only your anger, but people who have hurt you. Let them go and trust that God will deal with them. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Just because you forgive them doesn't mean they got away with it. But you don't want them to keep hurting you by keeping you locked up inside because you haven't released them to God. That's what forgiveness means anyway, to send away. That's what it means, to send away. And so really, I'm sending away to God this person, right? And trusting that God will handle them. God will deal with them. I'm going to just send them away. I am no longer going to have the right to get back at them. Because getting back at them really is only getting back at yourself. It's only going to boomerang and hurt yourself. All right, release. And here's the fourth and final way to recover the ravages of anger, and that is restore. We said repent, repay, release, and finally restore. Whew. Well, if you've been hurt by anyone's anger, you've been hurt by other people, I'm saying to you, restore your heart and rebuild your life. Do not let what they did ruin you. Rebuild your life. In fact, this is what it says in the scripture. You're going to love this verse from Joel chapter 2. It says, God's word, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten." The crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. So the locusts around were swarming and eating up everything that the people of Israel had. And God says, look, I'm going to restore the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. The crawling, consuming, chewing locusts. This is what has happened to some of you. It's like locusts have been crawling and consuming, eating away at your spirit and chewing. And some of you know the pain when other people have just been chewing at you. Circumstances have just been consuming you and crawling. And you're like, why is this happening to me? Things are being taken away from you a little piece at a time. Not like one big swoop, just like a little piece at a time. And the anger of others and the way others have treated me, I just feel like I'm being eaten up a piece at a time. And what God promises in Joel 2:25, I'm going to restore it all. I'm going to restore it all. I'm going to restore everything. The years that you went through, I'm going to restore it. That's what he did with Job. Job literally lost everything, and God restored it and gave him double for his trouble. This is a word of encouragement for someone. You've been going through it for a while. God said, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. I'm going to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Well, what do we learn today? We've learned from the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4 that anger can ravage one's life when compounded with sin and unrepentance. We observed four words, you must master it, and we gave you four ways to recover the ravages of anger. Repent, repay, release, and restore. Well, I sure hope that this word can help you wherever you are, whether you're in your home or your apartment or your townhome, whether you're in a park watching it on your phone. I'm just glad you worshiped with us today, and I'm glad you know the God who can restore all things. And it's in that vein that I want to say a prayer for you now. Come on, pray with me. And if you don't know God as your Lord and Savior, this would be the time to invite Jesus Christ into your life. If you do know God as your Lord and Savior, but you're dealing with the ravages of anger, let's have him minister healing to you now. So as I close today's sermon, let me pray for you first who don't know Christ. If you want to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, say, dear Jesus, I invite you into my life to cleanse me of my sins. I am so sorry for all that I have done. And now, Lord, I want to follow you. Forgive me and help me to follow you by faith. I place my faith in you. I want to be saved and I want to be safe. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now help me grow as a follower of Jesus Christ. And then for those of you who may already be believers, but anger has ripped your life apart from the inside out or from somebody else's anger, I pray for you now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you bring healing to those who have been victimized by the anger of others? And would you bring healing to those who are afflicted by their own anger and they do not know how to deal with it? May today's sermon help them deal with the ravages of anger in their heart. May they be like Abel and do what is right. And if they are like Cain, Lord, would they turn from what is wrong? And we'll continue to look to you to be the leader and the Lord of our life. For it is in Jesus' name we pray during this age of rage that we would be people of peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.